Hello, friends. Elle here with a little update before we get into some content. You've probably been wondering where your bonus episodes have been. Well, it is yet another situation of if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Ash and I both got smacked with some pretty hefty life stuff these past few weeks, so we are, surprise, quite a bit behind. We do still plan for Anime Milwaukee to be the first episode of Season 5. However, Season 5 will now probably not start until April, as we have not yet recorded our Anime Milwaukee episode because Ash needed to go out of town for 2 weeks. In the meantime, we are going to try to continue to produce bonus episodes for you. Season 5 may end up with a little bit of a rotation between bonus and regular episodes until we can get back on track with our schedules. As always, we do appreciate your support and hanging in there with us, as we can't seem to dodge these life things at the moment. I feel like we need merch that just says life stuff all over it. So for this weekend instead, we have for you a recording from when I joined the crew at Cost Talk Live on their show. Please enjoy.
Wow! Good morning, good afternoon. Good afternoon, I guess. Hello, yeah. Everybody. Thanks for joining us on this day that I guess there's a big convention happening today around the world. Yeah, it's called, what would you call it?
It's a sports ball convention.
Sports ball.
Here it's happening today.
It's happening in my town, actually.
It's happening in ours, too.
Yeah, no, actually, that means that they're here. They're actually here.
Oh, they're actually
They're physically here.
They're actually here, yeah.
The rest of us just have the live stream option.
Yes, we only get the virtual ticket option for the sports ball convention.
Virtual ticket people, and then mine's actually happening here, so I avoid that area of town.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, hi, guys. Welcome to Cost Talk Live. We have a special guest here today. People call us podcasts all the time, and that's fine. You know, it's not like, hey, whatever, because we're really like a live stream show. So, if a podcast helps people understand it better, that's fine. So, guys, my name is Jinx Cosplay, or Jessica. I've been cosplaying since 2001, primarily here in the Arizona West Coast area. And I am your host today for Cost Talk Live. Everybody else is having a nap, and that's okay. So let's move on to my guest over here to my left. Go ahead. Oh, Elle?
Oh,
I don't know where you guys are on the screen, actually. So.
That's Elle. A good point. I'm Elle.
Oh, and you want to do like a quick like little thing? Do you want to do a quick thing about, you know, how long you've been cosplaying? Just a quick thing.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we're so used to doing everything like merged as one.
It's fine. Yeah.
My brain's like, wait, you want me to talk separately?
What? Yeah. Right.
Yes, we are technically separate people.
That's weird.
That is a misunderstanding sometimes. We're just the lobbies.
Yeah.
we just exist as a collective. But yes, I'm Elle of Lavi Cosplay. I have been cosplaying since 1999. Back in the day when we had to, you know, pause VHS to like figure out what our costumes were going to look like.
VHS.
Yeah.
That big thing that, you know, you put another big thing into.
Yep, the big box that you put another box in, that thing.
Yeah.
Yep, that you got from the Blockbuster.
The Blockbuster.
Yeah, that's right. You had to go to a store to rent movies once upon a time.
Whoa.
It was a thing.
Really weird.
It was totally a weird thing. So I have done so many different things over that time. We've pretty much been competing since the early 2000s on and off. Have done a bunch of different events as guests. We've been, last couple of years, recently been booked as MCs pretty frequently. One of our big focuses is performance. So we do a lot of competitions that involve performance, but we get booked at conventions to do a lot of live entertainment, which includes our stand-up comedy show that goes with our podcast.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. So when we get booked at conventions, we do a stand-up show that has a Jeopardy board involved that talks about Lots of wild and crazy things that's happened to us, friends, things we found on the internet. It is a good time. And then Ash has been around about as long as I have.
Yes. So I'm Ash of Lovey Cosplay. I've also been cosplaying since the late 90s, going to cons since the early 2000s, off and on. Pretty much like ditto for everything that Elle said. Our journeys have been very similar as far as cosplay goes over the years. But yeah, back in the day where we had to make everything out of terrible, like shiny satin from Joann's Fabrics, or like three layers of broadcloth so it wasn't see-through if you wanted anything in color. But
yeah,
and you had to make a costume because otherwise it didn't
exist. Did you have Hancock Fabrics?
We did.
We did.
We did too. Yeah.
Before they closed.
Benjamin Franklin Crafts.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. We had one of those way back in the day. Now we're we just have Joann's. Pretty much.
Just Joann's, yeah, and Michael's. Which Michael's only carries like some, well, anyway, this isn't a craft, like a who carries what craft dream. But let's talk about, so yeah, I started in 2001 as well. And you know, I, my first con was 1996 San Diego. So I'm in the same realm as you guys. I remember when there were like five different wig colors, three styles, right? Yeah. There was the bob, there was like a longer one. And then there was like this like Godiva.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Really long that only came in blonde.
Yes, so tangly.
So you had so to like tangly. Color it. Yeah. So let's talk about, I want to hear a little bit about your guys's like how you started, like what got you started. So whoever wants to go first with that. Oh, and Tiffany says hi from Facebook. Thank you for joining us, Tiffany. Yeah.
Hi, Tiffany from Facebook.
Because we do stream on three platforms, so I do like to like pinpoint where they're watching from. But go ahead, who wants to start?
Let's see, I'll go. So my first kind of experience with cosplay, I didn't actually know what cosplay was. I just really loved anime and I really loved video games. And I happened to find some like old clothes that my mom had in a closet that she was getting rid of and had in like my dress up closet. And I was like, this would be a really great opportunity to alter something into a character that I really like so I could just wear it for funsies. It wasn't until, and that was probably like 97, 98 maybe. It was Aeris from Final Fantasy VII was my first. It was a real winner. There was like a nightgown for the dress, this really tacky like corduroy suit that I altered for the jacket. Her little bangles and bits were like made out of like duct tape and oversized sequins. It was some quality entertainment, but I was also like 11 or 12.
Oh my God, so, that's awesome.
Way back in the day, back when you couldn't, you know, do all this fun stuff with all the technology that we have now. My first experience, like being introduced to cons, is I just happened to find some photos. I think it was around 98 also of people on the internet just dressed up in costume. And I found AWA down in Atlanta. And my dad was supposed to go to a convention down there for work. And I was like, you should take me with you and let me go to this event. Unfortunately, that did not happen. But the whole family went a couple of years later to Anime Central, which is the really big con around the Chicagoland area. Because that would be like our local massive convention that we have here.
That's ASEN now, right?
Yes, ASEN. But the rest of it's kind of history. So been going off and on in one way or another for the past 20 plus years. Mostly around the Midwest, but I've traveled around the country quite a bit and overseas, as we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. Awesome. Yay. Well, I think that's so cool that you started it without even actually knowing what cosplay was. You're just like, I love Aeris so much. Aeris, who's now Aerith, but I love her so much that I want to cosplay her. And I remember I played Final Fantasy VII as well when it first came out. That was my first Final Fantasy game that I played.
Same.
And then I found some fan art of Tifa that I had drawn way back when I was like 13 years old. So, all right, Elle, how about you?
So I ended up starting because a friend of mine was really into anime. And so then she showed me the anime and then we were like, we want to go to a convention. So I definitely did Neptune from Sailor Moon with like a found schoolgirl skirt and a t-shirt with like with like a handkerchief like stitched on for like her little collar, and I totally took that like that old hair color stuff that you could do and like put
like
it in my hair
or like pomade or something.
Yeah, it's like a gel like temporary color because I'm actually very blonde and I used to have really long curly hair, So I colored my hair, which did not turn out the color it was supposed to be. There's photo evidence of this somewhere on our Instagram of this costume, because I definitely have photos of this one. And that's just kind of how it started. My friend and I met a group of Record of Lotus War cosplayers because she was cosplaying Deedlit. That's how I ended up on stage for the first time. Was with this bunch at then Anime Iowa. After that, because there were not a lot of conventions back then. You could go to like in the Midwest, you could go to Anime Central, Anime Iowa, and that was about it. That's what existed.
You're lucky to have like one per state, like back.
Exactly.
Before we started.
So then that group evolved into a much larger group, which is how I met Ash. Yes. So I've actually known Ash for like 20 years. 22 so, years. Yeah. That's right.
That's the age of some cosplayers we meet these days.
We were first on stage together, what, 2004?
Four, yeah, 2004. Yeah,
we did The Violinist of Hemelin. Talking about a throwback, very old anime.
Wow. And then, of course, back then, when we did competing, you had to make everything. There was no way you could even buy,
It didn't exist if you didn't make it.
Exactly. So, kind of talk about, so what was your first competition like planning and kind of like getting together and...
There was no planning.
Yahoo Club.
Yahoo Club.
This was before Yahoo Groups. Yahoo Clubs was how we organized everything from across the country. Because we had some people in our group that were from like California and other people that were like up in Maine or Maryland, Northeast. We were everywhere. And we organized everything through Yahoo Clubs. Yeah. Everybody made their own costumes. We had one guy that was good at props and another girl that was really good at sewing. So like they traded and she did his sewn bits. And he made like her scythe. And then I think we borrowed wings from somebody else that was actually in a different competition entry that was also part of like our larger group. But all the audio had to be done live at that point in time. So we had hand mics because the drop mics at the whichever I was that at the Hyatt at that point.
That by 2000. Yeah, because when we did Vampire Hunter D, we were at the Hyatt.
Yes.
And that was 2000.
So we'd have hand mics.
Two? Three? Something like that.
Three, yeah. Wow. So we'd have hand mics. But we didn't get to rehearse until we showed up because everybody came from all across the country. And so we would go to the third floor of the Hyatt, which is the hotel that hosts it. And there's this like big open area. Like it's like a walkway from the main elevator. And not a lot of people hang out up there. So we would just go up in the hallway, like several stories up and just rehearse like on the carpet.
How many were in the group? How many were in the group?
Well, Hamelin was at least 10. When we did Vampire Hunter D, we had 21.
That's so many people.
We had the entire cast.
It was the entire cast of Bloodlust.
Holy smokes. Yeah. Wow. I see. This is okay. Wait, hold on a second. Let me see. There's a video, actually.
There is a video. Yes, there is. There's video proof of all of these from the ASEN days of old. Oh, God. Yes. Well, that's our, some of the old photos.
Wow. This is amazing.
If you go to our YouTube, the skits are still there.
Okay.
A lot of them from the early 2000s. So if any of you are curious as to what skits looked like from early 2000s, we found a few of them and put them into a playlist.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be sharing that.
They're pretty entertaining. But yes, so that costume is 20 years old at this point.
It's gorgeous. Wow.
I did not make this one. Our friend Brandon actually made it for me. I did not know how to sew back then. I was the actor and the writer and the director, not the sewist.
Fair enough.
I didn't make the things. I wore the things.
But that must have been incredible on stage. And now they limit how many people you have on stage.
We're pretty sure we're part of the reason that ASEN has that rule.
there's several rules that like coincidentally like happened the year after we did something.
But we also did stage combat during that sketch.
And the year after we did Hamelin, they had prop size limits.
Yep.
And armor and like wing size limits for how far away it could be from your body.
Oh my God.
We had characters with giant wings and giant props, like somebody's walking around with like a baby grand piano on their shoulder. So
oh my God. Okay, we have to like collect all this stuff and like put it into like a like we'll share the links and everything. Let's see. So I actually, it's interesting that you say that they created some rules after you guys went, because I do a cosplay 101 panel, and I actually discovered that there was a rule that said no nudity is not a costume. And then of course, like whenever I would refer to this, they're like, well, what, duh. Like, but no, it had to be made. The rule had to be made because people would show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people would show up in very little clothing, you know, and be like, well, this is my costume, you know? I apologize for that. So how did you guys decide that you were going to be a cosplay team?
Let's see.
Like LaVie. Like how did LaVie come to be?
Sure. So I want to say, let's fast forward to maybe like 2012.
Yeah.
We've both taken a little break. I went and did more costuming things and like ran a LARP, live action role playing game, and was a manager for that. And Elle went to New York and did a lot of fun entertainment business stuff. And then we came back. And so after Elle moved back, there was a group of us that decided from our old like 20 something, 30 something person internet group that we wanted to like reconnect, because this was the age of Facebook now where everybody's on social media and kind of getting back together. So we hunted down a bunch of old people and just kind of reminisced about the good old days. But there's a couple of us that were still somewhat local to each other that decided, hey, let's do something. We miss doing this. It was a lot of fun. And the rest of it's just kind of history. Elle and I weren't like super close back in the day. But we started seeing each other all the time because we had these projects that we wanted to do. And our friendship just kind of evolved at that point. So I think we did our first group project in 2013. We did a charity event in 2013 and our first contest in 2014, like since we got back together, essentially. And we've been doing it ever since.
So that was quite a while back. I mean, not quite, it was quite a while. Actually, yeah, in the middle of your whole cosplay career, 2012. Yep. It sounds like it's not that far away, but it was like over 10 years now.
Yeah, it was over 10 years ago.
It's wild when we realized that the other day. We were like, oh my gosh, this was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, wow, it feels like 5 years ago, but it was like 10.
Right. And yeah. I mean, when you guys cosplay as a team or, you know, as a pair, like how do you guys decide on what you're going to do together? And how often do you cosplay like your own stuff? And what's the dynamic? I'm just interested because, you know, like as a, someone who just cosplays on my own, I can do whatever I want or I can join someone else's group. Right. So I just want to see here what your dynamic's like.
Well, we're lucky that we tend to like the same material. So that has always been a benefit, that it's usually pretty easy for us to be like, well, I want to do this character. Well, it turns out I want to do this character from the same thing. So that helps. But we typically, because we almost always pick competitions that involve performance, we will typically look at the performance potential first. And then decide, like, do these characters have performance potential, or is there nothing here for us to like use, I guess, for a performance. We've just recently started doing separate things. That hasn't really been a thing really before. But I went through a period where I was like not confident enough to sew my own things, and now I'm like doing a lot better. And so now we both just started experimenting with some stuff separately as well as together, just to give us more options. Our life schedules have changed so much in the last like 4 years that sometimes it's just nice to have like, oh, I'm going to go to this one, but it's okay if you can't go, or you know, that kind of a thing. So we're exploring that solo option, but it's still much more fun to get on stage with someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Like I actually don't like competing, but I compete with friends. Like if someone's like, hey, we're doing a group, I'm like, okay, who am I going to be? Because it's just so much more fun for me because I love performing. I've done theater and pageants and all that sort of stuff, but competing is just, I don't know. It's just, it feels a little like the whole waiting, you know, like let's go and wait. I'm just like, oh, I gotta go do things. Like the little ADHD in me is like, I can't do it.
Yes.
It's a commitment. It a whole is. Weekend commitment. Yeah.
It's your whole, like, forget Saturday because you're not going to have it. Like, yeah, it's gone. Yeah. Your whole Saturday is gone. You don't got time for anything else.
Some cons you don't get Friday either.
No, yeah. A lot of cons you don't get Friday either. Because a lot of cons now do their judging on Friday and their show on Saturday. So, ooh. Yeah, you
which
don't.
I guess that makes sense trying to break it up because a whole day in the costume can be exhausting.
Yes.
Which I hate. And my co-host Thermo, she's the one that's really into competing. So I'll just let her dictate whatever. And I can, you know, I can make my own costume. I'm just like, okay, who am I? Okay, what am I doing? Okay, wait. And then it's like, that's fun. I don't mind because then I could do less work and just be like a body. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the first groups I did was the muses from Hercules.
Yay.
Yeah. And I was one of the muses. And this was the first time I went to WonderCon, and it was hard because I'm like, WonderCon. And they're like, come to rehearsal. And I was like, dang it. Okay.
No.
And we, you know, because we had a group of how many muses were there? Five muses. Five muses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Five muses. And then Hercules and Megara. So there was seven of us. So we actually had to like rehearse. And then like there was one person that was in California. So we had to rehearse extra time. And I'm like, I just want to go. So like kudos to you guys for, you know, all the dedication. That's exhausting. I cannot, I don't have a long enough attention span to focus that long. But let's move on to, I have a question about how you guys kind of started with your podcast.
Absolutely.
So Lavi Cosplay, you guys are pretty much, you know, and the SCS, and we have to be careful now because YouTube's like putting.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if we're allowed to say it or shall we abbreviate it to
SCS? We'll just abbreviate it. It's in the title, so y'all can read what SES is, but YouTube's just started to, you know, put this ban hammer down. So let's kind of talk about the transition into the podcast.
So 2015, we started running panel programming at cons, mm-hmm. and there was a really large call for it in our area. And we had event organizers like always asking for more. Like we had 1 year, I think that the most we did at one event was like six panels plus judging. And then we did like 15 events that year. And it was like, oh, it's so much. And I understand why people want it. But at the same time, like, that's a lot for anybody to handle. And I think that's kind of where we realized that there was like a want for our voice in cosplay, at least in our region. And Elle's always been talking about podcasts, and she got me into listening to podcasts for the first time. And she's like, I really want to do this thing, and I think it would be a lot of fun. And I'm like, I also think this would be a lot of fun, and it would be a way for us to provide something back to the community. We could have a little bit of fun with it, but also be very informative and talk about our experiences, because at this point we hadn't been cosplaying quite for 20 years yet, but it was getting pretty close. But this is Elle's brainchild more than it is mine, so I will let her talk more.
Sure. So it did start from, we had people just asking like, when are you going to come to this con? Are you guys going to come to this con? Are you going to come to this con? And we're like, you know, we send guesting stuff out. We can't make them bring us. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we can't just come to every convention plus life. As we say frequently, this is not our full-time job.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we can't just drop everything and like go to every con. As much as we'd like to come and see all of you. So we were like, well, what if we put our material online? Like, what if we made a podcast so that our work was out there? We're not relying on a convention bringing us in. We're not relying on our availability to go to a con. We can present whatever we want because we don't need it approved.
Yep.
We can just do it. And so that's kind of where it started. And it did start out with a lot of contest material. And then it's slowly evolved into its own entity. Because one thing we wanted to make sure we did was we didn't want to do the same thing that everyone was already doing. So that as much as we appreciate all the messages we get asking to be on the show, one of our things was that we were going to limit the number of guests. And that if we were going to have guests, it was going to be more like a conversation and not an interview. I'm just trying to do something a little bit different. And we've kind of evolved from what you would expect to some of these unexpected type episodes. We're doing a lot of psychosocial episodes where we're looking at like the psychology and social aspects of cosplay in different areas. So like sandbagging opened up a massive floodgate that we have like six other episodes coming because of that one. Wow. We're looking at self-expression. We're looking at why people cheat, like why they bother to cheat. We have an entire episode on that.
I love the con crunching episode we did.
Yep. We worked on the psychology behind con crunching and why people do it. And so we've kind of evolved from like what we even thought it was going to be to something completely different, but it's working. So we're just going to keep chugging along and see what happens next. But our next season is really focused on the community as a whole. So not, we've done a lot of focus on the crafting and competition part of our community, but also expanding out to all the different types of cosplayers and the other people that are involved. Because there's a lot of non-cosplayers that are involved in our community and sub-communities.
Yes.
And so we're going to kind of take a look at everyone, which also means we're hopefully leaving the Midwest this year to go to a con.
Oh, yay.
Yay, leaving the Midwest. We have not announced the convention in which we are attending, but we do know one for sure we will be leaving the Midwest. So
what area, where are you headed? Like, can you say a direction?
I would think by now we can say direction. We're waiting to get something confirmed. We're heading west.
Ooh.
So West Coast, look out. We're coming your direction.
Awesome.
So we will announce where we're going, hopefully in the next few weeks here. We're just waiting for something else, but we're excited to head that way. And hopefully we will head other places in the future. We have an absurd amount of listeners in Canada. So we also like to go to Canada at some point.
Yeah.
Hi, Canada.
Hi, Canada. Yeah. Specifically like Canada. Vancouver and Toronto.
Yes. Yeah. Specifically British Columbia and then the city of Toronto. Yes.
Yeah, actually, so Chibi's our other host, and Chibi actually was not able to do the show today, but Chibi's our Pacific Northwest host, and she has close ties to people in Canada. Hmm. So definitely we can link you guys up. So
link us up with Canada. We want to go to Canada.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a couple of comments here. Jen says, Ash and I used to do a play of Hercules with Beanie Babies.
We did.
That's your cousin calling you out there.
Yep.
Hi, Jen.
Yes. Jen's very supportive.
Thank you for watching, Jen. Matthew is one of our event support team. Hi, friends. Sorry I'm late. Hope you're all having a good day. Thank you so much for tuning in, Matt. And Chibi. Aha! Chibi is watching.
Speak of the devil.
And she's watching from our YouTube. So maybe you're on your break. Get back to work. Canada cons are very fun. And again, like I said, we could probably, you know, get you in touch with some people that we know.
Yeah,
I'll let Chibi kind of take the reins on that. But so when you guys started because I actually did not start listening to podcasts until the pandemic. So
yes.
Until the big giant panini, I was like, wow, I need more content. And, you know, this isn't about us, but I'd started my show. Because I used to stream personally, like just video games, and I always had this idea to do a talk show. So I always knew that I was going to do something live. So I was like, and of course, when the pandemic came, me and my friends, we were right in the middle of, we were going to go to WonderCon. We were like actually doing a really cool skit. We were seeing each other every, like pretty regularly. And then they were like, stop. Like, no. So that's kind of how we finally got Cost Talk Live started up. And I was looking for content to see like what's out there. You know, I don't want to be, the same thing that other people are, just kind of see something different. And I think some people get competitive, but I'm like, nah, this is, I listen to all your guys' episodes because, you know, I need content. And I think that's what a lot of viewers just want, is they just want that, you know, to share that, you know, experience and knowledge. And it's not competitive. I mean, I've never experienced any kind of competitive attitudes or anything. But I definitely knew I wanted to get you guys on the show. I'm just like creeperly listening and then commenting on your kind of stuff.
Like, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And So I want to talk about a couple of your challenges in the podcast, because as we all know, cosplay is a very visual hobby. Like, yes. let's be real. It's a visual hobby. It's a social hobby. What kind of challenges were you guys experiencing with your podcast in terms of criticisms and, what kind of content you were bringing? Like, go ahead and,
So the one thing we had not planned for was the pandemic, obviously. Yes. We aired like 4 weeks before everything shut down.
Yeah.
Like, that was not the plan. We've always been people where people get what we're doing when they meet us in person. We've just always done better with people meeting us like in an in-person situation. So we had planned to go to cons. We were going to do we'd done the first version of our live show at C2E2, like 2 weeks after the podcast aired. We were like, we're going to go to cons. We're going to do this show. We're going to do all these things. And then everything fell apart. Yes. So one of the challenges we started with was we have to change literally the entire plan for this podcast because we can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
We didn't know we weren't going to go anywhere for almost 3 years. On top of that, and we'll talk about it probably in a little later. We also had to deal with ICL being on hold for 3 years. So that also kind of threw a wrench into our plans as well. Just kind of always wondering, are we going to be gone? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we take this opportunity? So we did do quite a few online cons in the meantime. We did Articon. We got to do Anime North.
Yep.
In Canada, which was cool. So we've virtually been to Canada.
Yeah.
we get to do a NakaCon. We did a couple other smaller conventions online. We get to do we love Anime Fusion in Minnesota. It's one of our favorites. So we were able to still work with them. But it definitely changed what we were looking at for the podcast, because we didn't have those convention episodes. We didn't have that inspiration that you get when you go to con. You go to con and then when you leave, you're super inspired to do all the things. We didn't have that for years. So we're what else can we find? What can we pull? And that's kind of where our professional experience came in to it. And we pulled my experience as a therapist, Ash's experiences in events and coordinating and crisis management. And that started to evolve those episodes. So I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges we've had, was what we thought we were making got railroaded because of a pandemic.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And it's interesting that you say that, because we managed to get Yaya on the show because she had released her book just before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I guess 2020 was that moment for everybody to, and then I know that the Cosplay Universe documentary film had released in 2019, and they were kind of yeah, exactly. And it does not feel like that long ago. No. I guess if you're not doing much through the year, there's not we always think of events that we've been to, or, milestones of what we do in a year. And in 2020, I did buy my house before everything shut down, but that's the only thing I can really think of. What else happened? I don't know. Yeah.
It's all a blur.
Yeah, it is. It's all a blur. And with events picking back up, I'm just I feel like 2020 was last year.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. It feels like we're still in the same year. It doesn't feel like it's starting to finally almost feel like a separate year.
Yes. I think almost. 2022 helped. I don't know where you guys were, how events went, but we started getting events and people really hungry for them. Mm-hmm. So we had our Phoenix Comic Con back of Phoenix Fan Fusion, excuse me. I say Comic Con because people understand it better. But right. The whole Comic Con thing, they call themselves Phoenix Fan Fusion. A lot of the other events, a lot of small pop-ups, everybody was so hungry. So I think 2022 helps. Now when I say last year, I can say 2022 and not the last time we did this.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's 2021 into 2022 all feels or 2020 to 2022 feels the same year.
Yes.
And it's finally starting to feel a separate year. like around like November-ish of 2022, after we finished like ICL, it started to feel like this is a different year.
This is a new chapter like, in our life.
We went to a con that didn't like require masks. We were like, wow, okay, things are changing. This is weird, but okay, we can do this.
Like, do I count that I've been cosplaying for, you know, 20 some odd years if I didn't really for like two?
I know. It feels like you have to subtract them like out because it feels like it was just 1 year. And we
everyone subtracts it out of their whole life. So we all get a pass.
We all get a pass
in our hobbies. So ICL, International Cosplay League, right? Yeah. I think people are more familiar with the WCS, yes. which is the World Cosplay Summit. But I don't know much about ICL, and talk to us about how you guys decided that you wanted to be a part of it, because this was before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Right. So how did
2019?
Wow. Yeah. So yeah, talked about like how you decided that you wanted to be a part of it. I mean, in the qualifying like processes. So yeah.
So I've been an international contest junkie. Most people are super familiar with WCS, but I want to say like 2003 was when it first kind of like got on the radar for me. I think that was the first year that they went to Anime Expo, and you know, cosplay.com was big back then. So I saw a lot of people talking about it on the internet, and it's one of those things that I've always just kind of followed. And Elle and I had always talked about early after we got back into the scene, we're like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to work our way back up through the ranks, because they pretty much told us none of our old experience and awards counted from back in the day. And eventually we want to go do an international contest. And most people are super familiar with WCS, but there are several other ones across the globe that invite people from multiple different countries. And several of them have included the United States over the years. 2018, Clerical Cosplay Cup, which so it's for the Netherlands, and the International Cosplay League, both showed up at Yomacon, which is in Detroit. And we didn't know about it until, I want to say, like September. And we're like, there is absolutely no way in 6 weeks that we can put anything together to go to this particular convention. But we're going to hope and we're going to pray that they're going to bring it back next year. So we started planning at the end of 2018. And luckily for us, they did go ahead and bring it back the following year. So our entire year, like we dropped literally everything else. Like we had been going to a ton of cons, doing a ton of programming. We're like, we need to take a break from this because we have this super serious performance and craftsmanship competition that we want to do. And we need to be able to focus. So we did a couple of events, but for the most part, ICL was all consuming for the entirety of 2019. And we went to Yomacon, and we almost didn't get to go to Yomacon. Like, we have a whole episode about it. Like, I was in a car accident on the way to like drive to Els so we could drive. There's like a freak snowstorm on Halloween. But at the end of all of it, we qualified. And there were a bunch of other great teams there. We got to compete with a lot of people that we've known in the community for a long time. And just the whole vibe was awesome and uplifting and so different from most of our green room experiences, where everybody was just like totally there for it and positive. And just, we were having like essentially a slumber party in the green room. We're like braiding each other's hair and brushing each other's wigs and passing out snacks and singing and dancing around like in the middle of the green room. And a lot of the super serious people that probably hadn't done a lot of competitions are all like giving us a side eye, like, what are you doing? We're like, don't mind us, it's fine.
What's going on?
This is the international contestants having a party over here. Yeah, we all knew each other, so we're all just like, yeah, party. Like, all of us are just chill. We're like, whatever, it's cool. If one of you guys wins, sweet. Like, nobody really. It's very wholesome. It was awesome.
That's cool. And because you guys don't see each other, because, right? Like, or did you guys see like the other international contestants often, or are they from all over the place?
So for the prelim international contestants, it just happened to be a lot of people from the like Illinois cosplay scene.
Oh, okay.
All went to Detroit to do this. So we like just happened to know everyone that was competing. Mm-hmm.
And the people that came from down south have come to a lot of other conventions. So like we had seen them around and talked to them on the internet. So there wasn't like really any strangers involved, which was kind of fun because essentially you're just competing against all your friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was nice. I mean, but then we waited 3 years to go to Spain.
Yeah, so you guys actually took the costumes that you entered to qualify, right? Am I understanding
that? We did a redo on them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like about 50% on each of them, a redo. My wig is a feat of engineering. Yes. If you have not seen this wig.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up because I actually got into Moggy when our first event back in person. Yeah, our first event back in person was September 2021, which was a little early. One of my friends watches it, or Thermo Sidekick, actually. She's like our tech person. Gosh, my tabs are blowing up. I'm trying to find Instagram here. She's our tech person, but yeah, so I actually watched it while I was like getting ready and stuff, and I got hooked. So I've got like a Moggy, you know, it's one of those things where you see the cosplay, right? And then you're like, that's cool, but you have no idea what it's from.
Yes.
And then you're like, ah, yes. Oh, I know who they are now.
The few people that know get really excited about it.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got lots of pictures here. Which one should I choose? Oh my goodness. Because I know Judar here. Oh, this is a good one. Judar is definitely looks like a challenge to make and transport. So I'm just gonna pull this up here.
Yeah.
If you guys are not familiar with Moggy, it's an anime that you guys explain it. Go ahead.
So it's the story of Aladdin and the 40 thieves, and then Sinbad as well.
Yeah, 1001 Nights.
Yeah. It's very cute. Judar is like an evil magician who wants to take over the world.
And Chibi's in the comments, and Chibi's done Aladdin. So,
oh yay!
Please. Yeah, I know Chibi's freaking out right now.
And then of course, as usual, Ash is the princess.
I am the princess.
Ash always gets stuck as the princess.
The eighth princess.
You are the eighth princess. Yes. So Judar's wig actually attaches to my back.
Yes.
Oh,
so there's a rigging system under that blouse that first ball hooks into, and then the balls actually string onto a plumber's chain like a necklace.
Yeah. Oh,
so to transport it to Spain, we just took it apart.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, it just comes apart. It weighs less than, what was it, like 3.5 pounds.
3.5 pounds, yep.
Wow, yeah. That is
less
so
than 3.5 pounds.
Light.
They're just stuffed satin balls that I then glued wig hair over the top and then sealed them with flex bond.
I do remember listening to that specifically.
Yes.
Because I was like, that's freaking fascinating.
Infamous TikTok video of me squishing my wig.
Yes.
Yes. That one. Spinning.
Yes. That's also on Instagram somewhere. Yeah, that was the like one video that we've ever had actually get seen on TikTok is me like squishing.
Yeah.
One of the balls, and it makes like the weirdest sound.
Crunch.
But yeah, his wig was a feat of engineering. We've got some more complex ones right now that we're working towards. But I also had to be able to like the skit that we did for ICL. I'm doing a lot of jumping and dancing and moving and spinning. So this wig had to be safe for me to wear.
Here we go.
Yeah there's the go. Spin.
Wow.
Because wow, as
very smooth.
It moves. It weighs nothing. Because as an occupational therapist, I'm very concerned about like body safety with costumes. People will put things on their bodies that probably isn't very safe.
Oh yeah.
And you know, there's a limit on how much weight your neck and your head and your back can like manage and what parts of your body can hold weight better than others. So we were very concerned about me not hurting myself.
Yes. Wow, that's very
and being
smart.
Able to wear this costume. So it just attaches to my back. So if I got pulled on or anything happened, it wouldn't hurt my neck at all. It would just.
And it just looks so like, it looks so like graceful and smooth. Like it just is natural. Wow. And
yeah,
TV's freaking out. You both look incredible.
Thank you. Guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and we wanted them wearable outside of ICL because one of our new like goals is to even make our competition costumes wearable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they don't just sit in a closet and like
or tote. Yeah.
Not go anywhere.
And then, so you said that. So, what was the original timeline from your qualification to ICL?
It would have been from November 2019 to September 2020.
November 19th. So about a year.
Yeah, it would have been about a year.
Yeah.
So you were planning on already like tweaking it or did the pandemic kind of give you more time to, you know?
No, we were going to fix it anyway. And then at one point we switched projects completely, but then our executive producer entered the world.
That's fine.
Then we changed our plan.
Yes. And then we didn't really think it was going to happen the year that it happened. So we're like, well, we got all this time. Let's make something else. And then like a month later, we're like, no, really, we're going to do it. And we're like, okay, well, we don't have time. So we're going to go back to plan A.
Do you want to share who your executive producer is?
So I had a baby during the pandemic. We refer to him fondly as our executive producer. He likes to give his vocal opinion on a lot of things. In the beginning, he also liked to push all the buttons on my computer and unplug me. So I had to learn how to like shut ports off so that he couldn't just like turn us off in the middle of it. But yes, we originally referred to him as our third co-host, but he got promoted to executive producer for quality
control. He made bigger decisions.
Yep.
The strong-armed him his way up to the top.
Yes.
I mean, he did eat a hole in your windscreen recently.
He did. So. My windscreen on my Audio-Technica microphone, he just took a big chunk out of it. And I was like, really?
He's like, this could use a little bit of a tweaking.
He tells us all about things in the background. So sometimes I leave him in just because it's funny. And I let him chat in the background about.
I feel like the pandemic definitely allowed for like those kind of interruptions to just be normal. Yeah. You know, everyone's having meetings and whatever they need to do. And just it is what it is.
Yes. Well, and unfortunately for both of our jobs, we didn't get to do the whole like remote work thing the whole time. Like a lot of people did. Mm-hmm. Like we're both essential employees. So I was working overtime during the pandemic. Oh, so our time definitely, it was a struggle to have any sort of free time for anything. But we had chosen Magi and those characters specifically. We wanted to play to what we knew our strengths were, which was on the sewing side because we've been doing it for a very long time. But also, we knew they transport really well.
Yes.
So we wanted something that would be able to compress down. Like, I'm wearing 9 skirts, but it's just fabric. So it just rolls up and doesn't weigh a ton. I don't have to worry about anything getting broken. So
now, what was the big deal, though, about your skirts? Because you had to iron them or press them.
Yes, we did.
Your preparation, and again, I this is one of the most recent episodes I've heard, so I know it, but could you guys kind of talk a little bit about your preparation to ICL and all the things that, because people don't travel like internationally a lot for cosplay, right? So we
planned very well for making sure that the stuff that we had that was fragile would be something that we could either fix very quickly or would be able to be packed perfectly so that we don't have to worry about something breaking. Because they do give you a little bit of time where you can, you know, do any sort of repairs, but your costumes have to be done before you enter the country or else you get disqualified. So that's a very like hard line. Like we need to make sure by the time that we're in Spain, like no more anything, like it's either done or it's not. What we hadn't planned on was our room didn't have an iron in it, which is something. And then our steamer that we took with us, the adapter, like we took the travel adapter for the electricity, but it just did not work out very well. It was like shooting boiling water, like at everything. We're like, how are we going to get all this fabric like clean? So we like are steaming stuff in the showers and like hanging stuff up. Every time we're in the room, from pretty much the moment that we check in, we're hanging stuff, like draping it in the bathroom and turning the water on hot and just steaming up the whole place. And then we ended up like going to the mall and buying a steamer. For like, was it like €18?
I think it was super cheap.
There was
I have it in case we go back.
Yes,
to Europe. I now have a European steamer
because our steamer just was not gonna.
No,
it's spitting hot water, and we're like getting burns. We're like, this is a poor choice.
Yeah, all it's right. dangerous. Yeah.
And I was staying up super late every night. We ended up borrowing an iron from the front desk, but all they had were like the little ironing boards that are maybe like 2.5-3 feet long. So I'm like sitting, and it doesn't have a stand. So it's sitting on top of my suitcase and then I'm just draping the fabric over it and hoping for the best. it was quite the ordeal to not be ready by the time we get there.
That's, yeah. So because I lived overseas, and so I know the different voltages. So when I heard that, I was like, oh my God. So now that means you guys have to go to like MCM or something else, you know, that's like, yeah. Like I got the fever.
We've got to go to MCM and see Team UK, yes. And Food and Cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, then I heard that too. I was like, I'm going to go meet them. Yes.
And then we've got to go to Sweden so we can see Maruna, who was solo Germany. So we need to go to the Nordic Cosplay Championship so we can go see our friends. And then we have to go to France so we can see Team France again.
We got to go hang out at Art to Play.
We got to go to Art to Play.
Like, there's so many cons. Yeah. We're like, we need to go there so we can see these people.
It could be cheaper to fly to a European convention.
It could be.
Our tickets were actually like on par with traveling in the United States to go to Spain.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And then traveling within, like if you can, you can like, yeah, just hop like, okay, next convention. Okay, next country, next convention. Because traveling within Europe is ridiculously cheap.
It was so easy.
Yeah.
It was great.
Super, super cheap.
We didn't want to come back. We were like, can we live here? Just stay in Europe. This is great. I can get on a train and go wherever I want.
Literally anywhere. Yeah.
I love this.
Even, I mean, because my husband is from England. So we've been to England. So I have visited MCM and it was really fun. I loved it. I definitely want to go back. But so much easier to get around in Europe. Jen says, they're so talented. I'm so proud. Oh. So
I don't know how to do the new heart. I'm too old.
What's the new heart?
There's a new heart on TikTok. I don't know how to do it.
I got nothing.
Those Gen Zers will have to show us how you do it. I don't know.
So I know that this isn't on the agenda, but because you guys are from the same era as me in cosplay, I mean, how did you guys transition, especially when the pandemic came through? A lot of old school cosplayers were kind of like, meh, you know, like me. I was like, okay, what do I do? Because to me, it's not a cosplay debuted until you wear it out. Right. So how did you guys kind of transition onto TikTok? Was that a challenge or
we don't do much on TikTok, honestly. Okay. I bless all of you that do TikTok. It's a lot of work.
Please teach us
to get all dressed up in a costume to like take a couple videos and then take it off like 30 minutes later. Like it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Or even longer, because, you know, sometimes it takes longer to film this stuff.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's dedication.
I don't know how they do it. We put really random things on TikTok because we found that there doesn't seem to be any, like, tried and true formula. It's really random what does well on there and what doesn't. So,
That's true. I put
random things up. We use it a lot for progress. I like it for like costume progress a lot. Being able to show like video of some of the costume progress has been really nice. Someday someone will teach us the TikTok and then maybe we will understand it. But
we try. We've had people on to be like, tell us. And then I'm still like,
yeah, we've had a couple of random like old skit videos that got kind of popular.
Yeah.
And then anything that had to do with Elle's wig.
Yes, they love the Judar wig. It's just a thing. Like, it only likes my wig. So if it's not the wig, it just does no one sees it.
Like block. Okay. It's like shadow banned, only if it's the wig.
It's only just wig.
So I got not really into, but I tried TikTok. I don't know. I just didn't get it. But then I do reels because I already have, you know, quite a following on Instagram. So I'm like, why am I gonna try something new? You know, and I feel like we've kind of gone past that point of people that kind of blew up on TikTok. I don't know if that's really going to happen anymore, right? So on my reels, I do notice that a lot of work in progress stuff, like the one that got the most views, over 10,000 views, is literally just a one shot of me sewing on my machine. That's it. I'm like, okay.
So random.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely like the work in progress stuff I find is more popular than the actual finished product stuff. So that's definitely what I do too. I am trying to find this squeezy wig video. I don't know if you have a quick link to it or not.
I don't know.
That's okay. Oh wait.
I don't know.
Oh, this is TSA proof. Is that it?
Yes. Yes, okay, it's the TSA video. Yes. Because people were insistent that TSA was going to destroy my wig.
Right.
And I'm like,
because most people think it's made out of like the styrofoam balls is what I'm thought.
Like, no, you can like squish it. It's fine. It's not going to like if they take it out of the suitcase, like it's they're not going to destroy it. Like they can smash it, they can move it, they can throw it. Like it's not going anywhere.
And what's inside of it again?
So the inside is a foam pipe insulation.
Oh, okay.
That I then sealed with flex bond, so it'd be nice and smooth on the outside and the inside. Mm-hmm. And then that's glued inside a satin ball that's then filled with polyfill.
Oh.
So then the ends are sealed with Warbla so that the chain doesn't catch. And then it's covered in wig hair.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is freaking cool.
And so the chain just runs through the middle. Just runs right up through all of them. There's little stoppers in between where you take bobby pins and you use them like a lock on the chain. And it holds all the pieces up so the weight stays distributed properly.
That's like a whole like engineering thing that my brain just cannot.
It is. Even. It's a feat of engineering. Everyone's like, when are you making your tutorial on how you did this wig? I'm like, that's going to take me forever. I don't know when. I'm like,
I'm trying to like, you know, in my brain, like that's insane. And this actual video, was this the one that made it?
Yes. This is the one on TikTok that just exploded.
Like, yeah. So people like to see people manhandle their cosplays.
Apparently. Yes. Apparently, they just want to see me destroy this wig. Cause then the other one that got popular was I popped it with a scissors.
Yes.
I think was that one of these up.
It's probably that's the one I was showing the inside, like what the inside.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I had this one up for a bit.
That's got, the opening. You can see, like, I think I pulled the stuffing out of it at some point in this video and you can see like what it looks like on the inside.
Wow.
And but no, at one point I popped it. Just be like,
and
look.
I do have a podcast. There was an episode on you talking about this. So
yes.
You guys can always go back and listen to more detail on how, you know, a little more detail on this wig. Because it definitely is. I mean, the costume itself is just like, where is this one here? The one of the side view is just like, that is an incredible, like, look at that. It just touches the ground almost. And wow.
And it weighs nothing.
Yeah. And it weighs nothing. Yep. Jeez.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow. Laughing Rat says TikTok is not built for people with grown-up lives. You know, I mean, it's true. I cannot think of myself, like, even for this show, like, the reason why we did this show is a reason to get dressed up, and I'm, like, the only one that doesn't usually get dressed up anymore, because I'm just like, oh, so much work.
Oh, we're like that at con now. We're like, you want us to wear costumes? Oh, my God. That's so much work. How many costumes are bringing this con? Oh, we're competing. One. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Like we randomly wore costumes. We were the MCs for Colossal Con North and we had like downtime. What is that?
Yeah.
And we actually like put a costume on to walk through the hallways. And we were like, what is this? You don't know what this is. This
haven't done it in so long.
Like we haven't done that in like, I can't remember when, because we're more times working a con than we are just going, so we're just like, this is weird, we're not competing, so what are we doing with ourselves? It was like an existential crisis. Like we just like, what do we do?
Definitely. See, when I took a break from like the local cons because I lived overseas, and when I came back, I made cosplay grew, but without me here. So I went maybe the first year as an attendee, so I came back in like 2017, and then you know Thermo's like, let's compete and let's do this and let's do panels. And I'm just like down for whatever. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then one of the last events, I was like, oh my God, like, what is it like to just be an attendee? Because I don't know anymore.
I know.
It's one of our goals is to try to make ourselves attend something just as attendees. Like it may not necessarily be like a con specifically. It could be like a Ren Faire or like a one day thing or whatever, but to go as attendees, not doing our show, not competing,
without
not
a schedule,
working.
Yes.
Just, and we're like, I don't know if we can do that.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know if we physically can do that.
Right.
I don't know if we have that in us.
Yeah. Last year I hustled for Cost Talk to make, you know, a presence because like we were back in person. And this year I'm like, I think I worked hard enough last year. We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
So, gosh. Guys, so we are coming up to the end. Wow, that was a fast hour. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you want to share before we kind of close it out?
Well, if you want to find us anywhere, we're Lavi cosplay on literally everything.
Literally everything. Yeah.
So you can find the podcast on your favorite podcatcher. We also put it up on YouTube as well.
Okay.
So we now have it on YouTube. I spent like 2 weekends reformatting 70-something episodes to get them on YouTube. So they are there now.
We'll watch them.
You've all been asking for 3 years. They are now on YouTube.
So there's the podcast and the YouTube. Let's see. You guys have your YouTube address. I don't have it here.
Let's see. I can find it.
I forget how to get the pretty version of the address because there's now like a youtube.com/@LaviCosplay, but I don't know if that's the address or.
Yeah.
We're not good adding, with all this.
They've been adding the @s, which is really weird.
It's kind of nice though, because previously it was just a giant line of letters and numbers and
yeah.
It looked really weird. So it's kind of nice that you can just put youtube.com/@ and then it pops up, which is nice.
Their Instagram, Twitch, website, where you can find their podcasts on Spotify or, Apple. I think I listened to you on Apple. Yeah, I listen to you guys on Apple Podcasts. But anyway, guys, take a look and be sure to follow them on Twitch. Guys, you can find me. I'm Jinx Cosplay. My socials are at the Jinx Cosplay, or my website is Jinx Cosplay. And for our next show, we actually have, there's a lot going on next week. Thermo and I and Thermo's sidekick are actually going to be running our cost swap. So we run this little like swap meet for cosplayers and geeks and stuff. So we actually have cost swap mart happening at Zing Fu Tang Boba in Mesa Riverview on Sunday, February 19th from 12 to 5. So come and check us out. Or you can watch Chibi Rain Cloud's going to have cost gear on the show. They are the ones that make the ears that move and the tails that move. So they are coming out with some new stuff. So that's super exciting. So be sure to check that out, guys. And then again, we stream live every Sunday at 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Check us out. We have a lot of stuff coming up. Thank you again to Lavi Cosplay SCS Podcast for taking time out of their day to speak to us. And guys, listen to their podcast. It's a lot of fun, especially if you're into competitions. There was more I wanted to talk about competitions, but man, it's like we could go on forever and ever.
Next time.
So if you need more content, listen to SCS. Thank you so much, guys. And we will see you all next week.
You've been listening to Shenanigans Cosplayers Say, produced by LVC Productions. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and YouTube at Lavi Cosplay. Our podcast Instagram is Podcast SCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com or DM us at podcastscs or Lavi Cosplay on Instagram. If you like what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.